talking working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KCO. It's a nice, warm 88 degrees outside. This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden there in Hobart, Oklahoma. The wind heat index is 94, dew point 72, humidity's 59, winds out of the south-southwest at 18 miles an hour and gusting up to 25 miles an hour. That's good because when the show's over, I'm headed south on Merritt Road, crossing 152, and I'm going to lay some blue stem hay down, and with this wind blowing, it'll dry out, and I can bale her up tomorrow and not have to worry about Sunday's deal. Plus, I have to go qualify in the morning for the club championship at Sayre at the golf course, and I know you guys are feeling my pain right now, but hey, I got to do something for leisure. But my landlord just called right before the show, and he informed me, and we've touched on it every day this week, and so it's not going to be any different this week. Army worms, he said, they are coming up the hill from the river bottom out of his house and leaving it dead looking all the way, and they're almost up to his house. So them army worms are bad this year. I mean, oh my gosh, they're terrible. But anyway, watch out for those army worms. Talking to some experts with the OSU extension office, the army worms will kill your grass if they eat it down bare to the dirt. If they leave the grass and move on, more than likely, especially with Bermuda grass, it will slowly come back. But like wheat, any of your crops, anything, they're going to eat it to the ground. It's done. Wheat, triticale, rye, peas, whatever. When they destroy it, it's not coming back. So keep an eye out from those army worms. This is one of the worst years in history, according to everybody. And it's just not Western Oklahoma. It's Oklahoma, Kansas, Texas Panhandle. Yesterday, I read some articles about Missouri and Arkansas. These fall army worms are a bad, bad deal right now. Before we get on with our show with my guest today, a couple things I needed to go over with you real quick. The Merritt Local Stock Show is going to be tomorrow, Saturday the 21st, at the new Ag facility, which is right west of the Merritt School next to the football field. It starts at 10 o'clock. Concession stand will be available with all your favorite foods, snacks, and drinks. The cattle start showing at 10 o'clock. They'll be followed by the sheep, the goats, and the hogs. Then there will be a dog show after the conclusion of the hog show. The kid activities is basically bring your dog, show your dog, the ring toss, cornhole, apple bobbling, egg toss. There's going to be all kinds of good things going on tomorrow. So please go out there and support your local 4-H and FFA kids at this show. It's a Everstock show. I think it's a fun time as long as I'm not having to do the shearing, the washing, and the scrubbing and the feeding. But anyway, it's good to go watch kids from the age of 9 all the way up into senior in high school see how much responsibility they've learned in caring for an animal. Well, yesterday I had Jimmy Taylor of the Taylor Ranch, him and Miss Tracy. I had Jimmy on the show, and we had a lot to cover, and we didn't get it done. And there's a lot more to cover. He's got another event to go to next month, and this guy is so brilliant, and I'm not overstating that. Yesterday when he was in here and he was rattling off these percentages and where they're promoting beef with the checkoff system and his cattle breeding, the percentages, he didn't have a book or a paper in front of him like me. This was in his head, and he knows his stuff, but there was a couple things that we didn't get to cover because we ran out of times. There was 4 websites that he wanted me to ask you guys to check out if you would. And it's benefitsforwhatsfordinner.com. and that's got all kinds of recipes and everything for, well, it's not benefits, it's beefits. I'm sorry, it's not benefits, it's beefits, what's for dinner. And check out recipes for beef. I checked it out this morning, and there's all kinds of good stuff on there for you, for indoor and outdoor cooking. Thebeefboard.org. It's it'll that information there. It's got information on the beef checkoff, the state councils, who's on it, the national board, who's on it. Like yesterday, there's over 100 guys on this beef council, and they don't do this for pay. All they do is get their expenses reimbursed, but this is on their own time. And there's all kinds of programs on there to read about for the beef board. Then you can go to Oklahoma Beef Board or oklahomabeef.org. Cattleman's Corner's on there, which talks about the beef checkoff and beef producers and who's on the Oklahoma Beef Board. And then there's another one, beefresearch.org. It talks about beef sustainability, nutrient data base for fresh meat, the checkoff research, and on all four of those. The BeefIts, which is BEFITS, whatsfordinner.com, the beefboard.org, the oklahomabeef.org, and the beefresearch.org. Check them out. Also, for all my friends and fans out there, I'm officially out of Facebook jail as of this morning, so you'll see me back on there causing trouble tonight. So anyway, you can get a hold of me. I can comment on some of your stuff now, so I'm out of Facebook jail. Today's guest is from Dewey County, and she's with the Conservation District there for Dewey County, and I have Kalita Bratton on here, and welcome to the show.
Good morning.
And how are you today?
I'm doing great.
We got a lot of things to discuss today. You sent me stuff that what you got going on, and lady, you have it going on. So, but anyway, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I've worked for the Conservation District for 23 years this last March. I serve on several boards through the national and the state associations. I am married to my husband, Keith. I have two married children and have five grandchildren that we spend a lot of time together. And I enjoy history, and I love working for the people of Dewey County.
It's a great county. That's where my down the road relatives are, you know, that's where we started at. It was when my grandma and grandpa did the land rush thing.
Yeah, I had a grandparents that had a farm years ago, but we don't have any land right now. So I remember the cattle and the waving grass out in the field that it used to look like. So,
well, Dewey County's a great county. I'm glad we live next to it. What's your so you guys? Dewey County is a lot like Roger Mills County and Beckham County. There's a lot of water that comes through that county. The big old canyons.
Yes. We're actually the north end of the Quartermaster and the Barnetts that run into those other counties. So we have 22 flood control structures that we operate and maintain and work with producers. The producers actually own the land, but we have the easement rights to take care of the structure to make sure the integrity of the structure is not damaged in any way. And when we do O&M, we have to try to keep the grass out there so there's no erosion, make sure there's nothing blocking our towers, so if we do have a flood that the water flows like it's supposed to. And when I talk about flood control, and then I talk about watersheds. Watershed is actually all the acres that flow into the flood control structure.
Right.
And a lot of these were built back when they had the big flood down at Hammond.
Yep.
That several people lost their lives.
Yes, so, ma'am. My dad was actually alive and a part of that. And Quartermaster Creek there north of Hammond, he said it was a bad deal.
Yeah. So that flood control structures are designated as high, significant, and low hazard. and we had most of our 22 were high hazard until recently. They put some down to significant, trying to, and on the high hazard ones, we have to do an emergency action plan every year and update that. So that states everything about that watershed in one book, so if we have an emergency that we can go down that, contacting our landowners, contacting our contractors, contacting our sheriff's office if we have to activate. We've actually rehabbed 5 structures in Dewey County, which means that their life expectancy of 50 years was gone, and they've been upgraded to last 100 years now. But our first one was quite interesting because we had some delays in some construction on it, and we had some rains, and they actually had done a cofferdam on it. They cut the dam to put the new pipe in, and it rained and rained and rained, and we had to activate our emergency action plan. And our emergency action person had been on the job one day.
Oh, man. They probably like, I quit.
No, I said, can you come to my office? Because you need to go to the field with my guys right now.
Oh, man.
And, well, she learned quick.
Oh, man. I bet that was something. Because these flood prevention dams that are in Dewey County, Roger Mills, and Beckham, they're big. And Ouachita, yes, County, too. And I keep leaving them out because I know of 5 or 6 in Ouachita County that I've actually been on site, you know, fishing or whatever I was doing.
Yeah, Ouachita and Custer County down through there, because we're the north end of all of those.
Right. And there's these are big dams. I think those, I'm sure the lake size varies, but anywhere from probably 25 to 50 or 60 acres, I'm guessing.
It just depends. We have quite a bit of easement on ours, so it helped us when we did our rehab jobs, so we didn't have to go back and pick up much easement, because when they change the elevation of the dam, that changes everything around the structure of what you need for water flow and stuff on that. Luckily, we didn't have to go any further on our emergency action plan. The rain that was supposed to come the next day didn't come. So on the last 4, they did not cut the cofferdam in. They drilled the, put the pipes through the dam. So we were done with that part.
you were done. And you guys, and how many are in Dewey County? 21, is that correct?
21.
And in your email to me, you said about then half of them are high hazard. And
yeah, it's less than that now because they put some down significant. They came back with a new category, and I dropped some of those down. So I think I'm at 5 or 7 now.
Well, that's better than half. That's better than 10 or 11. And
yeah,
you don't have to lose sleep at night worrying when it's raining, right? But they have you guys got any projects going on any rework on those dams as we talk right now?
We don't have any going on right now. We have a couple on the books that haven't moved anywhere. Like, we have to do a federal application because the percentage is broke down between the NRCS, the federal USDA, and the state, and then in kind with the district to get that done. And we have a couple on the books that haven't went anywhere, but there are other things that they're trying to get done on those. It's just, you get the paperwork done, and it's a sit and wait to see what happens.
Yeah, lots are, I guess, call it red tape, if you want to call it.
Yes, it takes about, when you're preparing for a rehab, just the paperwork to get started takes about 2 years before you start anything on bidding or getting on the ground.
And then after you get all the paperwork done and you send out bids and stuff, what is you guys' expectations of getting started?
Well, it depends on the when they send the bids out. Those all come out from the state. And then we have meetings between the contractor and the district and the RCS, and we're all at the table working together to make this all pan out. So it can be months, or it can be
A year or two. And, well, you guys work great. I think you do. I hope you guys do. I know they do in Beckham County, but in Ouachita County. But you guys work hand-in-hand with the federal part, which is the NRCS.
Right. They do all, NRCS is in, housed with us, and they do all of our technical work on everything, not just our rehab. They do the conservation plans, practices. They design those out in the field with the producers, because conservation is in Oklahoma is all voluntary. So unless the farmer comes in and wants assistance, we're not out there, which we don't seem to have any small workload with that. They're all needing something. So.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about farmers and ranchers. They always need something. We're always after something. We got because, you know, our farmers and ranchers are the biggest population. They might be the smallest part of our population, but they're the biggest part of the conservation group. If there's anybody that loves conservation and believes in it and wants to do it to the best of their ability that's affordable, farmers and ranchers own a lot of land. And that's where a lot of our floods and our erosion and all that stuff start. So they're the mainstream, and that's why you guys are in that office there in Tologa.
Yeah, and our flood control structures have worked so well that the last 50 years that people don't even realize what they are. They say, oh, there's just a farm pond. No, that's not just a farm pond. That was built with government money to stop flooding so there's not danger downstream. Years ago, we started the first watershed banquet, and we would invite our producers and our landowners and anyone interested in knowing how the process worked so we could teach them, answer their questions, because we don't see them every day. If they have something going on that they really want to know about, and discuss that. But we try to stay in contact and keep all our information up in case we have to call a farmer. Back in when Hurricane Erin came through here, what was it, 01 or something like that, it was supposed to track right through Dewey County. So we sent out notices for our farmers and our landowners to help us be eyes on the ground to watch for this if it came through or we had damage or anything like that, just putting everybody on alert so we'd be ready. And I went to a softball game at Leedy, and they were all laughing at me. What are you doing that for? I said, well, better to be proactive than not be ready at all.
Yeah.
And what did Erin do? It went right to the east of us, and Oklahoma had a lot of damage.
Oh, yeah, big time.
So we were thankful we didn't get it, but so sorry for everybody else, because there was a lot of damage in the state of Oklahoma over that.
Yeah, there's we have dust storms, we have wind storms, we have tornadoes, we have thunderstorms, we got blizzards, we got ice 2 foot thick, like last winter wasn't 2 foot thick, but at least a foot thick. And we got hurricanes too, so Oklahoma gets it all.
And sometimes we can get 3 or 4 of those in the same day.
Yeah, we sure can. Well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KCO, and I have Kalita Bratton in here from the Dewey County Conservation District, and we're talking about our flood dams and our watersheds. We got lots of things we're going to talk about, and we got things to talk about in the next segment. You got lots going on in Dewey County. I'm impressed. I like it. I worked up there between Putnam and Tologa. I noticed in one of your emails you was talking about that senior citizens deal where they have dinner. My favorite time of the day is to run into Tologa from the location and eat at that place, because for what they were charging there and what you were getting, it was the best deal in Oklahoma. So it was pretty fun.
Yeah, we have a lot of people travel from other counties to get here at noon.
You know why? It's pretty cheap for the food you're getting. So
it is.
And those people are so nice too. When you go in there and pay, they're just, you know, there's not a bad apple in the bunch. They just talk to you like they've known you forever, and it's a great time there. Is that still going on right now? I haven't been up there in a while. Okay,
it is. I'm actually the president of the senior citizens here at the moment. Yes, we still serve meals 5 days a week from 11 to 1, and it's $7 a plate, all you can eat, and it's a home-cooked meal.
I know. See, that's the reason why. So if you guys are listening, and one day you have time, it's worth the drive to go to Tologa, and it's right there on the west side of the road, downtown, on the west side of the highway. There's good parking all the way around. Is that the Great Plains Bank right across the road? Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's right across the road from the Great Plains Bank, and it's all you can eat. And there's always a cobbler or a piece of cake or a piece of pie to go with it. It's good stuff.
Yep, full salad bar and everything.
Yeah, salad bar. Well, if you will hang on a minute with me, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about soil health and the Ray Fire. And if you'll just, if you're listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5, be right back.
We raise registered Red Angus. We sell bulls, heifers, seed stock quality type. Red Angus offer superior marbling. Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus, the maternal traits, and some heat tolerance. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at LMAauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
Once that gets in your blood, you're not going to get it out. Once you are ate up with cattle, farming, agriculture, it's a hard drug to kick. You're putting a crop out there, you're turning your cows out, and watching what you do grow, and watching the things that you take care of, things you care for, move on with their life cycle. Just seeing a result from your hard work. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right. Welcome back. And hey, just to let everybody know, we are streaming live on Facebook. We are live on the radio, obviously. And also, if you can't get a signal from KECO FM and you're traveling in the non-listening area, you can also listen to the show live. If you download the app on your phone, Paragon Communications, the name of the app, download it, and you can listen to it. Or sometime tonight you get bored and think, you know, I've missed Jimmy's show today. I'm going to listen to it. You can go to KECOFM.com, hit the on-air tab, hit the Today in Ag show, and all my shows are on there. And so far, everything's going well. I appreciate all of the fan base listeners, and we got all kinds of stuff to talk about today. Kalita's on here with me from the Dewey County Conservation District, and we're going to talk a little bit. We're going to touch on a little bit on soil health, and you got a project coming up next week. You guys are lucky. You got the ultimate Jimmy Emmons that lives in your county, so he's just a handshake away from coming and helping you, isn't he?
He is. He actually was one of my board members, and went to a national meeting in Louisiana, and the soil health spark hit him, and he ran with it.
Yeah, he's on the big board now, isn't he?
So he does a good job, and he helps us out alongside. So,
well, he was in here Monday, and that guy's so full of knowledge. We couldn't cover it in four shows, I don't think, but he's very good. So he works a lot with you guys in Dewey County on your cover crops, I take it.
Yes, we've been doing it for years. We've had several field days on his place, and took several tours out there with producers and the public, and it's always been a great event. And this next Wednesday, August the 25th, we actually have a combined event. With the COVID, we hadn't been able to have our South Canadian Prescribed Burn Association annual meeting, so they're having an open house here at our building because we house their equipment. So we'll start at 1, and it'll go to 7. There's a hot dog feed at 5:30, and a short meeting for them at 6:30, and then at 7 o'clock, Jimmy kicks off with soil health Conservation with anybody that wants to talk, and it's a informal meeting so that they can just do coffee shop talk about it, ask the questions they've been wanting to know, so there's nothing formal about it. It'll be across the street. We've got a district barn across the street north from our USDA building, so bring your lawn chairs and come and join us.
Well, that sounds like a good reason to not only the meeting, the hot dog got my attention. That's next Wednesday, is that correct?
Yes, next Wednesday, the 25th.
Okay, and it starts at 1 o'clock and it'll...
Well, yes, it's going to run all afternoon and evening. We opened it up so that with COVID, with the people, if they didn't want to be a crowd, they could come around and see the equipment and just, it's open where everybody can be here.
Well, speaking of your equipment, I'm just curious, you know, not every conservation district in every county has the same equipment. What kind of equipment do you have? I'm curious for my part to see what it looks like compared to the other counties.
Okay. On the district equipment, we have a 15-foot John Deere no-till drill. We have a 10-foot Great Plains no-till drill. It has four boxes. We have our own native drills. We have a scraper. We have an ARA machine to break up the soil in the ground. We have a sprigger. We have a hay trailer, we have a gopher machine, and we have a hog trap that can be set up.
Oh, great. So do you guys have a lot of issues with hog traps? Or hogs, I'm sorry.
We do, but our hog trap takes a lot of time and preparation to set up, so it hasn't went out a lot. We're not as big as I think some other counties, but it is progressing.
So does the Oklahoma State Department of Agriculture, do you guys actually have a, does the Agriculture Department have a trap or a trapper for Dewey County, or is there one for a couple counties up there?
Yeah, we're covered by trappers in the area. If we actually use the trappers. We have an agreement through the state office. If we get to having beavers on our watershed dams that cause trails and problems with our erosion on our dams, we contact our state office and the trapper comes out and traps those beavers for us.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, we have a couple of good trappers in this Greer, Kiowa, and Beckham and Roger Mills area. We have a couple of guys that come out when we have hog or, you know, coyote. Like I had coyote problems last year at my place in Greer County, and he come down and in exactly 1 year caught 52 coyotes, so I did have a problem.
Those guys have a lot of knowledge. I've used a lot of them from the south to put on programs. We had set up the hog trap in our yard one day and had a event with that, and they're very knowledgeable and can teach you a lot about that.
Talk about, I know we have, there's the burn association that we have here, the Prescribed Burn Association, the Roger Mills one, and this is the South Canadian Prescribed Burn Association. Do they do a lot of burning? Because you guys have a lot of cedars. And
well, and our about the time we really got set up good was when we had the drought, and then we've had the fire, so they're all kind of apprehensive about that. But after you've had a big fire is the time to jump on it and stay on it and keep things cleared up, because it doesn't take very many years for those cedar trees to start growing back up and you have a mess again.
Well, yeah. It's, yeah, and them cedar trees are, I got a picture, and actually, you know, now I think about that, I have your mobile, and I'm going to email, or I'm going to text you the picture I took down on the North Fork of the Red River. It's crossing the river earlier this year. I go back and forth on the Ranger from the farm to the house, and I have a picture of a cedar that's on the bank of the river there, and the sand is slumped off basically even with the tree, and it shows you how far the roots of a cedar goes out. And this is a 15-foot cedar. I went by and stood on it, kind of looked up and guessed it was 15 foot, and the roots went out 80 foot each direction, left and right from the cedar. I don't know what was coming out towards the river that it washed away, and I don't know what's in the bank going away from the tree and the dirt. 80 foot of roots, and I'll send you that video. It's crazy how big.
Yeah, they take a lot of water.
They take a lot of water, and it's just, the cedars are not a good thing. A few cedars, yes, but not a bunch.
Yes, after both of our fires, we had one south of town, I think it was 60,000 acres or so in 2009, and then our one in 2018, producers would come in and say, I had a creek that I could just step across, barely any water, and now I can't step across it because the water's flowing.
Yeah, exactly.
So So, yes, they can see the increase in water after the cedars are killed.
Oh, yeah. I was doing a job up north and east of Camargo on Jeff Cole and his dad's land. Do you know Mr. Cole?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and
I do.
Doing up there, and we were looking for some water to fill the frack pit up there, and we went and looked at some stuff. He went in there, and there's a little stream going through there, and it's just covered by cedars. And they went in there and cleared that out, I think either that year or the next year, and I touched base with his dad, and he said, I got a creek now. I mean, it doesn't take much. They soaked the water up.
Yep.
And so, well, speaking of the Ray fire, that I was semi not involved, but got caught up in it. How's that? That was a bad deal.
Yes, it was.
And
nothing we ever want to see again.
No. And can you tell us what experience you had working for the conservation there?
Well, first thing we had done, we'd opened up senior citizens to help and assist do firefighters and anyone that needed food because electricity was going off. That was cold that one weekend, too. And I was called to the emergency Dewey County Emergency Management the second day to head up the haying and supplies for agriculture people. And never would we dream how that went into effect. People would just—it was just night and day. The phone ringing, people wanting, needing something, or bringing supplies. We had just got a forklift at our barn, and it was the best thing we'd ever. I mean, we were loading out stuff night and day. I carried a little black book with me with people's names and numbers and who's coming in, what time, and what they're bringing. And my guys would get to laughing because they'd go to the field and they'd come into town and they could see the pickups and trailers lined up. And they'd like, oh, Colita put our Facebook page out. There's supplies in.
Social media works, doesn't it?
It does. And we couldn't call people because it was too big of a project. It was too big. So I know a lot of people didn't have Facebook, but we just say, share it with your neighbor. This is the fastest way we can get it out. And, I mean, we had to keep it moving. We even got quilts in here one time, and I thought, no, that's getting too far stretched for agriculture, so I sent it to another group because we were just nonstop. We had districts sending people to help us. It was just our whole USDA system here, everybody, if they had to go do something, they went and done it. It wasn't a question of who needs to do this. They just stepped in and done it, and it was all a reward to take care of our farmers.
It was crazy because that fire was going on. Then they had the fire, which I don't know if they thought it was the same fire that was going on at Arnett, and then Visai. Did that end up being part of the Ray fire, or was that a whole different fire?
Well,
it was kind of hard to keep up with.
I don't know if it ever came. Yeah. They thought it had been started afterwards, but it all ended up in the same big blob. Our whole county was covered. It went from the north to the south, from the east to the west. I mean, and if you thought you were out of it, just wait because the wind's going to change, and they had it coming back at them. If I remember right, we had 30-some houses burnt in Dewey County. That's not counting in Woodard County because it went on further north.
Right.
But it's not something I want to relive on every day, but it was just amazing how people would bring things in and stuff. And I had somebody call from South Texas, and they were wanting money for their hay. And I said, sir, we're not doing that, you know. And
That's a bad time to ask for money, you know.
Yeah,
what?
And he kept telling me this stuff, and I said, sir, I haven't seen the news in 10 days.
I remember that because I was working on that well that I was telling you about there between Putnam and Tologa. There, I was right on the highway, and we had people on location, and luckily there wasn't a lot of cedars. There was farm ground around that location, and it didn't end up doing anything on that location. But across the road west going towards Tologa, going back towards Camargo, it was one and clear to Putnam because it got into Putnam, didn't it? If I remember
yes.
right, yeah,
yes, it did.
Yeah,
I think the river saved us here at Tologa again. It saved us three times from the tornado and stuff, but luckily, Tologa wasn't hit, but Pardewell, everyone else was. So we could still function to help people.
But they, well, I got a text right quick, and I'm going to bring, we're going to continue for a few more minutes talking about that Ray fire, that they're asking about that meeting on the 25th, so I'm going to re-mention it. It's August 25th. It starts at 1 o'clock. And it goes all the way through 7 o'clock or even past there. You're asked to bring your lawn chairs. There's a hot dog feed at 5:30 and a short meeting, SCPBA meeting. And then Jimmy Emmons is at 7 o'clock. So that's from 1 on across from the your office there in Tologa, correct?
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you for texting in. Somebody texted in there, and I was trying to answer the question. Well, the Ray fire, when it got down towards Putnam, it was headed for Thomas, if I remember right, in Custer City. Is that, am I on right track? Am I remembering
that
right?
Yeah, and it ended up going north and hitting, going through Oakwood up to Sealing.
Right.
Coming around that way.
And that was a bad fire. And wasn't there a bigger one up north in the Panhandle? Is that the same timing?
Don't get me a story in here.
Everybody's attention was on that fire there that was in Dewey County and yeah. Right in
and
there.
I didn't have any family involved in it, but my husband was retired from ODOT, so when that Red Cross came and wanted someone to run food to firefighters across the county, I said, well, the only person that can do it is him. He knows all the county roads and how to get around stuff. And then stories he came home and telling me about having to get in the bar ditch to get out from under the plane dumping the stuff. And my son is on the fire department at Orion, and they were over here and talk of the horror stories they tell me that out fighting fire. And the people that had to run from their houses, I mean, just and get kids safe. And we were just lucky that we came out of that fire the way we did.
Yeah, and there was still a lot of animals that were... didn't do very good in the fire. With a lot of cattle. I mean, that fire was so fast and vicious because I remember on Channel 9, their storm chasers were, you know, the ones from Woodward, and he knows his way around in that area, and he was doing all stuff and cutting fences so cattle could get out and run, and people were just letting cattle out on the road and letting them get out of there and worry about finding them later, because we, you know, that fire is bad. Because I remember the one at Laverne, I think it was in 17, the year before, we went up there and delivered hay to there in Ashland, Kansas, and it was still emotional driving through there and seeing the damage.
Yes, it was emotional for everybody and tragedy for the ones that went through it. We still, 3 years later, farmers, you know, said, well, I'm trying to get caught up. It's just that, you know, I just can't, nothing's going right, and I can't get it all together. And we would be loading hay in and out 24/7 and feed. And after hours at dark, I'd get a call, and they'd say, we were out trying to get fence to get cattle back in here, and I don't have any feed for the cattle. We'll see you at the barn as soon as you get here. We got some.
Yeah.
So... it was amazing. The baby wipes was the biggest thing that surprised me when they showed up. And I was like, okay. But the guys would just come in. They'd been out doing fence. They were just exhausted. They come, and all they wanted to do was come in and get a drink, a bottle of water, and sit in the cool for a little bit and just take a moment. And those baby wipes, they would wipe, get their faces wiped off, and they'd take them in their pickups and wipe their faces, because out there in that fire, the burnt ashes were so bad, they'd just be covered.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible.
I mean, the daily stuff that these guys had to do was just horrible.
Yeah, and you know, the fire was bad, but a couple of good things that come out of that fire was, number one, it shows you how people in America, especially in Oklahoma, can come together and support the people that are in a bad way, and it got rid of a lot of cedars. That was the number two thing.
Yay.
Yeah, cedars are a bad deal. Well, Kalita, is there anything else you want to hit on? And we're going to run out of time here, and thank you so much for being on today.
Great. I didn't get to talk about any of our cost share programs. We have the federal cost share program, and then we have the state, Oklahoma State cost share program. That's a smaller program, but it's easy to get one practice on the ground and get it done and get it paid for. So what I want to say about the state cost share program is people need to remember that those are by county, and each board makes their own
decisions,
deadline, yep, sign up. So you have to apply where the land is physically located.
Okay.
And if I can help anyone on that, I will.
All right. Well, how would they get a hold of you?
They can they can email me at deweyccd@conservation.ok.gov. They can call our office at 580-328-5366. They can also go to our website, and there's a place to send an email from there. That website is deweycountyconservation.com.
Great. Thank you so much again for being on today. It was fun, and I love talking to you.
Well, we had a lot more, but I guess we ran out of time.
Hey, we got room down the road. You guys will be visiting me quite often because I like to keep up what's going on with our conservation districts.
Well, we're here for our farmers and our landowners to protect the natural resources.
The great stewards of the land, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, it's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO, and I had another guest to show up in the Ag room. I ain't got him on speaker yet because I know he wants to say something already, but we got to go to break and we'll be right back after this.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale last Tuesday, August 17th, we sold 1,019 cows, bulls, and kids. Thursday, August 19th, we sold 3,433 kids and breeders for a total of 4,452 cattle for the week. One cows bring 68 to 77.50. 10 cows bring 52 to 68.5. Bulls brought 70 up to 103. 2 to 8 year old bred cows, 925 to 1175, with a 5 to 8 year old pairs, 1010 to 1250. Honor steer cattle, 350 to 4 weight steers, 193 to 207. 4 to 450, 171 to 189. 5 to 550, 163 to 177. 6 to 650, 154 to 178. 7 to 750, 150 to 164. 8 to 850, 147 50 to 154. 9 to 950, 143 to 149.75. 1,050 pound steers, 132 to 139.75, and 11 steers weighing 1096, bring 136. Hunter heifers, 3 to 350 weight heavers, 175 to 181. 4 to 450 weaned heifers, 167 to 173. 5 to 550 weaned heifers, 157 to 163, with a 5 to 550 off the cow, 139 to 149. 6 to 650 heifers, 143 to 158. 7 to 750, 132 to 148.50. 8 to 850, 139 to 142, and 9 to 950 heifers, 112 up to 137. Very good market. We have 14 to 15 feeder buyers every week, sending lots of cattle north. I stay in the ring start to finish, make sure we get the most we can for every head. For this Tuesday, August 24th, we will have 40 bred cows and pairs on one deal, 50 bred cows on another, more by sell time. We'll see this Tuesday, 8 a.m. sharp. Thanks again, Jerry Nine, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
It's so convenient for farmers and ranchers to get what you need in one place. The Wheeler General Store is the do-it-best hardware store that carries vet supplies to doctor your animals, high-pro feed, also master hand milling and smart lick tubs. Delivery is available if you need it. And at Wheeler Ag, right there on site, they've got dry fertilizer application with blending capabilities. Wheeler General Store and Wheeler Ag on Highway 152, a mile east of the four-way stop in Wheeler, Texas.
You can also find the Wheeler General Store on Facebook and Instagram.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I'm back. I'm getting ready to start locking my doors while I'm doing my show because I just got accused of cheating at a golf tournament, and he don't know what he's talking about. He is a good golfer, though, isn't he?
He is.
So anyway, welcome back. I have today's forecast, the week-long forecast, the Long Ranger, brought to you by the Hobart Farm and Garden. Today, 96. It's 90 right now, the heat index at 96. Southwest winds at 18 miles an hour, 22 miles an hour gust. Tonight, 20% chance of rain. Tomorrow, 94. Slight chance of rain. Sunday, 95. Monday, 97. Tuesday, 97. Summer's back, Brent.
It's here. It's here. It's late, but it's here.
It's late. Hey, I'll take what we've had so far.
It's been wonderful.
Anyway, yeah, you and him need to talk about my golfing out of the room. And not.
I'm sorry.
You
know,
yeah,
I'm
okay. All right. Anyway, keep that deal. Well, I got an interesting story for you, Mr. Brent.
Okay.
I have Brent Metter in here with the North Fork Electric Co-op in here. He's talking about the big party tomorrow.
82nd annual.
82nd annual party at the Sayre City Park. And it's happening while I'm cheating at golf. So anyway, the rural economy keeps chugging along. This ought to bring you some memories back here.
Okay.
According to the Creighton University Rural Main Street Index, for the ninth straight month, the RMI has stayed above growth neutral. For August 20th, the RMI fell slightly to a healthy 65.3 from July's 65.6. The index ranges between 0 and 100, which reading of 50 represents growth neutral. Around one-third of bank CEOs, you know anything about those?
I do.
Okay, cool. Reported their local economy in the rural areas expanded between July and August. Solid grain prices, the Federal Reserve, record low interest rates, and growing exports has underpinned the rural Main Street economy, says Ernie Gross, who chairs the college's business and leads the RMI. USDA data shows that 2021 year-to-date agriculture exports are more than 25% above the same period last year. That's the prime factor for supporting the rural Main Street economy. Bank CEOs were asked, what is the biggest economic challenge for agriculture-dependent community banks for the next 12 months? And here's the top three results. 41% low loan demand. 28% says low interest rates. And 16% says drought. What do you think about that report?
Well, I think we're seeing commodities. You know, you're seeing cotton. Cotton prices are good.
Yep.
You're seeing good. You're seeing cattle etch up.
Yep. Wheat prices are good.
Wheat prices are good. Lightweight calves. I talked to several guys the other day. They were already pulling their calves off and taking them to the sale because the prices are good and they got plenty of grass. But calves are worth $900 and almost $1,000 off the cow.
Yeah, weigh 400 or 500 pounds.
Yep.
If that much.
Yep.
And not even winged, maybe.
So I think you're just seeing those prices etch up, and that's good for agriculture and good for rural America.
Yep, sure is. And then speaking of that, Elk City Livestock Auction's going on right now as you and I are talking.
Today's the day.
The day's the day, and I got a couple of buddies that I've been talking and doing some experimenting with. Not weaning calves and weaning calves and seeing what the cost difference is. When he gets this bunch of 30 sold today, him and I are going to have a long talk over the weekend.
You can compare prices.
Yeah, because he doesn't believe me. But he doesn't include hay prices. His cost of hay doesn't include tires, fuel, and his labor.
You got to figure all that in there. Your time's worth something.
Yeah, it is. And he said, well, what would I be doing if I wasn't
feeding
them
calves? Well, that's true. But you got to fit. When you pencil it, when you sit down and pencil anything, you got to pencil all that in there.
You got to.
Or you're cheating yourself.
But he's old. And he's, he went to Vietnam twice, and I'm sure a little Agent Orange got on him.
Right.
And then he went to Desert Storm with me.
Right.
So he's probably not thinking straight anyway.
I understand.
And I like to give him heck.
You bet.
So
you bet.
What do you guys got going tomorrow?
Man, we've been busy all morning. We're probably 96% set up for the 82nd annual North Fork meeting of the members tomorrow. And our guys have been out there all morning getting out all the chairs and tables set up and getting the sound system set up and... We got a big day planned for tomorrow. Got a lot going on. Going to serve lunch. We are having a drive-through registration that starts at 9 o'clock.
Right.
So all the members should have got a registration card in the mail. You need to bring that with you along with your ID, and that'll get you registered for the meeting. Also makes you enters you into the and makes you worthy of the door prizes. So the grand prize is about a $5,000 Kubota. Zero turn mower.
Oh, good.
So great grand prize, sponsored by Lindley Equipment over at Cordell. They've been great to help us out over the years. We have lots of members that do business over there.
Right.
They do a great business, and so they've always been good to help us out. So that's our grand prize again. Somebody's going to walk away with a $5,000 mower. And then R&R Powerline, which they do a lot of our contractor work.
Bobby's.
And Bobby. Bobby's good to sponsor us, and Bobby gave us he actually gave us $2,000 this year. We're given $1,000 as the grand reserve prize. Be $1,000 cash for the second name drawn out of the hat there. And then the other $1,000 we split up into $50 credit bills.
Okay.
Or bill credits, I'm sorry.
Bill credits.
$50 bill credits. And so there's going to be 20 members get drawn out of there and get a $50 bill credit. That's all because of R&R Powerline.
Well, it was great. You came in right after I started the show.
Yes.
And so far, I've been monitoring your show and my show that day.
Yes.
Our show together.
Yes, yes.
Straight. Well, it's still the biggest hit.
Really?
So far. Yep. Still the biggest
hit. It must have been you, because it probably wasn't me.
No. was, I think people just missed your voice from the back.
I don't know about that.
And we'll see how it goes today. But I didn't announce, because we just talked this morning that you were coming on the show. But we've had some great guests. And when Brett Manners come on, though, I hadn't had any problems getting guests.
Well, good.
So I don't know if you tell them that. I don't know.
I try to put in a good word for you, Jimmy. I do. So I think this is a great show and highlights a lot of what's going on in Western Oklahoma.
It's a real world.
You bet.
It's a real world.
Agriculture is driving Western Oklahoma pretty strong.
So how's your first year going as the boss?
It's going great. It's going great. We've had some new. We got some new faces, and a lot of people have moved up, and everything's going good. So there's a lot to be excited about. And
Jimmy Taylor, the president of the board, was in yesterday.
Yes.
It's a closer world out here than people think it is, because this guy lives two counties away. Doesn't mean we don't know him.
You bet. You bet. And we talked about this a little bit when I was on the first time, but we're trying to figure out ways to do more with less.
Right.
And that's just, everything's going up. Nothing's getting any cheaper. And we're going to continue to fight those battles and make electricity in Western Oklahoma for our rural communities. We're going to make it reliable and affordable. And that's our goal.
Well, one of the things that I was asked the most about, probably in both hands I can count how many people, or they wasn't even asked, it was a comment that said that they never put two and two together when you talked about how many meters was between here and Washington, or Randall.
Yes, yes.
And then out there you was talking about how many meters. Yeah. And the cost difference, that caught people's attention. It woke them up. It's just, you know, it's
there's like, nothing. There's no money to be made when you've got 2 meters per mile.
Right.
That's not profitable.
Right.
So that's what a co-op's about. It's about pulling together, all of us pulling together, keeping our expenses as low as possible, and supplying that power. Because there's no for-profit company going to go supply that power. There's no profit in that deal.
No, PSO, they know. We'll stick to the towns. You guys get the rest. And that's what they do.
That's right.
And what? And so what else is going on at the picnic tomorrow?
We got a ton of stuff going on. The Sarah Chamber is going to have a little vendor fair off to the east of the pavilion. All kinds of vendors coming from the Sarah community and around Elk City. So that's going to be a big hit. We've got LifeSpring Health. Home Health with Sarah, they're going to be there doing health checks.
Oh, really?
We have our power supplier that is supplying power to us, Western Farmers, is going to be there. They're actually going to be, they're going to have a booth set up. They're going to be talking about SPP, which is the Southwest Power Pool, which is a 13-state electric grid. And you heard a lot about SPP back in February when we had the cold snap and we had some rolling blackouts. So SPP controls all that. Our wholesale power supplier, Western Farmers, and all the rest of them that generate power, they bid into an SPP market every single day, and then SPP decides who's going to generate power that day. Depends on the wind, the solar, the
generation.
Yes, yeah, the coal, the hydro. That's what I was trying to think of, the hydro generation. So you've got a lot of different generators bidding into that market every day. They're the ones that are deciding who supplies power that day. So Western Farmers will be talking about that. We've got Blue Mountain Smoke and Screaming Jacks from Sarah are going to be catering our lunch, and I'm excited about that. It's the first time we've been able to use local caterers, and I want to give a
shout. Are we having brisket?
We are.
Oh, yeah.
We are, and I want to give a shout-out to them. So we'll serve 1,000 meals tomorrow. This is a big deal, and we've always had to bring someone from the outside to do a deal that big, and we're fortunate that those companies have grown and can handle us, and we're excited to use them, use use the local people.
Well, I know your deal's causing me to have to get up early in the morning because my wife wants her deal set up at 8 o'clock sharp for her oils.
Yep.
And she's it's oils for cattle. I just want to throw that out there.
You bet. You bet.
I got video of her at a heifer got paralyzed. Calvin, and you know, I was lifting her up every day, and Sandy was coming out there and giving her a treatment in essential oils, and I have no scientific proof, but I think it worked.
Wow.
Because there's a vet at Cordell that they do, that's
use
all they
some
do.
Of that.
Unless it's surgery, that's all they do.
Right.
They don't
right.
use vaccines and medicines. And I know Joey and Miss Taylor's probably not me to talk about that. But, hey, I'm reporting it all. You be a judge for yourself.
Bring your kiddos. We're going to have the swimming pool open. Mini golf will be open. The kids, there's kids prizes, free bikes. There's dollar coins for them. There's all kinds of stuff for the kids, popsicles, the whole nine yards.
Well, thanks for coming in. And, hey, you guys have a great weekend. This is end of week number six. So have a great day and God bless.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thank you.
There's a good mix of music.
Really good music.
Let's go.
Let's go!
This is KECO Elk City.
An update from the White House. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News. President Biden just beginning his remarks on Afghanistan about an hour later than expected amid some changing developments on the ground in Kabul. A U.S. commander clearing the way for evacuation flights to resume after a pause over crowded conditions at one of the destinations, a U.S. airbase in Qatar that's home to Central Command. Officials say they couldn't process any more Afghans with refugee status who haven't been allowed to fly directly to the U.S. There have been reports the State Department is set to announce flights will now be able to land in several locations in Europe, including Germany.
This is one of the largest, most difficult airlifts in history. And the only country in the world capable of projecting this much power on the far side of the world with this degree of precision is the United States of America.
The president also emphasizing moments ago that the U.S. stands by the commitment it has made to its Afghan partners. Nearly 6,000 U.S. troops are on the ground in Kabul now. The U.S. has evacuated over 12,000 Americans and Afghans so far. President Biden also acknowledging the risks of the evacuation operation. He says they're in constant contact with the Taliban. He also says he speaks to U.S. commanders on the ground every day. He's vowing to get out every American who wants to come home. The Massachusetts governor is urging people to take Henri seriously. Forecasters say the tropical storm could become the first hurricane to hit New England in 30 years.
Henri is going to produce rainfall amounts of 2 to 5 inches over southern New England Sunday into Monday, isolated amounts up to 8 inches.
Dennis Feldkin at the National Hurricane Center says that's enough to cause flooding.
And of course, you're going to have the wind as a factor as well. So, you know, precautions need to be taken right now.
A hurricane watch in effect from New York's Long Island to parts of Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island. America is listening to Fox News.
Nielsen says more than 30 million Americans watch Newsmax. It's the fourth highest rated cable news channel, and it's available on all major cable systems. Or find it on smart TVs like Samsung, LG,